This morning I'm going to spend some time talking about what I call the marshmallow principle. And by the time we're done talking about this, you will know the principle very well, I think, and you'll probably see marshmallows in a whole new light. In the early 1960s, a study was conducted at Stanford University using small children and, of course, marshmallows. Basically, children were placed in a room one at a time. The adult would enter the room and place a marshmallow in front of the child. The adult would tell the child that they were going to leave the room for 15 minutes. And if they could wait until their return, the adult would reward the child with a second marshmallow. Now, of the 600 children that took part in this study, roughly one-third of the children waited for the reward and got their second marshmallow. But, of course, that says that two-thirds of the children did not. They were unable to resist the temptation of the marshmallow that was placed before them. Yet the interesting part was the following study that took place many years later. You see, they tracked down about 100 of the previous students or the previous children of that original study. And they learned what kind of people those marshmallow eaters versus non-marshmallow eaters were. And it was learned that those who resisted the marshmallows did better in school, got along better with their peers, managed stress better than the children who ate the marshmallow shortly after the adult left the room. It was also learned that the marshmallow resistors were far more successful in life than the marshmallow eaters. Well, what does that mean to me? Well, let's start with James chapter 1, verse 12. You see, in this passage, the Lord tells us that blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those who endure temptation, when tested, will receive a crown of life. It's as though maybe there's one big marshmallow being presented in front of all of us. Actually, more accurately, a bunch of marshmallows being presented to us all the time. And the Lord says those who endure will receive a crown of life. You see, self-control in the face of temptation not only results in blessings of eternal life, but also results in blessings here on earth. Marshmallow eaters, which will be the term that we're going to use to identify those without self-control. So when I start saying marshmallow eaters, you know what I'm talking about. Marshmallow eaters seek instant gratification instead of thinking of the consequences of their actions. They don't endure temptations. They want instant gratification, and we talk about this generation being just that way. But in order for us to reach our heavenly goal, we cannot be marshmallow eaters. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, let's read verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. This is not a good thing. These are people whose God is their belly. They're just thinking about satisfaction. They're just thinking about gratification. They're thinking about themselves. If all we think about is satisfying our bellies, we won't think about the long term, will we? We won't think about perhaps the heavenly goal that's set before us, which is necessary for us to resist temptations in this life. All temptations are like marshmallows. They are either something that we should not have, or they're something that we could have if we would just wait to the proper time. For example, the temptation presented by Bathsheba was a big marshmallow to David. that he should not have had. Let's go to 2 Samuel and read about that. 2 Samuel, we won't read the whole story. 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's read verses 2 through 4. Then it happened one evening when David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he laid with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. What David did was wrong. What David saw was temptation, a big marshmallow, right before him. And the consequences of eating that marshmallow led to many things. Led to murder. Led to the loss of his house. Led to the loss of his wives. It led to the loss of his son and his kingdom. And you can read on through verse 14. It also ruined David's reputation, and I'm quoting, and had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Isn't that how it happens when we give in to temptation? In our own life, that are people that are around us, I'm not talking about necessarily a brother, but they know what we do. They know what we give in to. They know what we and how we sin. And this is no different from David. David's action caused not only for his reputation to be ruined, but it gave great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Why is it that so many brethren, or so I should say, so many people don't come to church? Why is it that maybe you try your best to get people to come to church and they turn you down, Tom? Maybe they know that you eat a lot of marshmallows. Not marshmallows. Yes. Maybe you give in to temptation. Maybe they know that. Did David think that marshmallow was worth eating? Do you think after he lost all of what he lost? I don't think he did. If David had not eaten a marshmallow, it happens to be that when we go to 2 Corinthians or 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 8, we learn that God would have given him much more. Now, I think this is a very interesting passage. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 8 says, "I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." This is to David from the Lord. He's saying, "I would have given you much more." God was prepared to give his righteous servant David anything, more or less. Literally anything, but he would give him a lot more had he not sinned. And I often wonder sometimes, do we think in terms that the more godly we are, the more blessings God will give us? You sow as you reap, right? Is that what the Bible says? Do we think in those kind of terms? Maybe we should. Maybe it would motivate us in a way of helping us to resist those temptations, those marshmallows that come up in our life. Because we certainly want the Lord's blessings. And you know, based upon this passage and others, I get the very distinct idea that the Lord wants to bless us. But we're a limiting factor. Our own conduct, our own lives is often what prevents the Lord from blessing us in ways that He could. Something to think about. I think Jesus Himself gives us a proper example of this, or a proper example of resisting temptation, when He was tempted by Satan's marshmallow. On that third temptation, notice the marshmallow that Satan offers him in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" What was Satan offering? He was offering all the kingdoms of the world. That's a pretty big temptation. Of course, in order to appreciate the temptation, I think maybe we need to dismiss the Lord from the scenario and put ourselves into it. If somebody came along and had the means by which to offer you a city, and perhaps all its revenue and all the decisions that this city, would that not be somewhat of a temptation? Perhaps offered you the ability to control and have authority over everything. Wow, you mean I could force people to live righteously? Wow, you know, maybe that's what Jesus was thinking. I'm sure he wasn't, but you see the point? This is huge. It's a big temptation. Satan offered all the kingdoms of the world right then and there, and all Jesus had to do, not a lot, just had to bow down and worship Satan. However, Jesus didn't eat the marshmallow. In return, he's now at the right hand of God. In return, God gave him everything Satan was offering. Do you realize that? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In fact, God gave him everything that Satan was offering and more. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. Not only did God give Christ all the world, all the kingdoms that were before him, but God gave him all power, all the angels, and all authority. In addition to that, again, merely because he resisted the temptation. Now, of course, I'm perhaps trivializing a little bit. But again, would not the Lord do the same for you? When you're faced with a temptation, do you think by chance, oh, I don't care. Oh, that was good. I'm glad you made it. Or do you think the Lord rewards? Do you think the Lord blesses? You know, oftentimes we limit our own thinking, the Lord doesn't bless. The Lord's not going to give me another marshmallow if I eat this one. I differ. Giving into temptation, folks, or eating the marshmallow, is taking a shortcut to gratification, isn't it? Isn't that what it's really all about? When you're presented with a temptation and you take it, aren't you just taking a shortcut? Yeah, sure, it's great. Let me give you an example. We all have given desires for intimacy and closeness and physical contact and affection. Those are all legitimate. Yet to give into the temptation to have sex before marriage is to fulfill those desires in a temporary way that does seem to satisfy. It certainly does. I'm not saying it doesn't. And for the moment, you're ingratiated in what you took. But you ate the marshmallow before its proper time, like the children in the study. The consequences of such gratification can indeed be devastating. It ruins relationships. Oftentimes, a couple don't even stay together. Diseases are introduced. Trust, at the very least, is lost. And heaven could very well be forfeited. Is it worth that temptation? Is it worth eating that marshmallow? Yet if we wait until marriage and eat the marshmallow at its proper time, not only will we enjoy a sexual relationship with our spouse, but we will have far more opportunities to do the same, including having an intimate relationship that will last a lifetime. But so often, you've got to eat it before it's there for us to have. Let me try to illustrate it another way. If I was to offer you $1 million, and I got to think about this morning, maybe I should be saying trillion on it, our budget's gone that high. We'll just stay with $1 million for a short while. If I were to offer you $1 million, or as an alternative, I could give you the sum of a dollar doubled every day for 30 days, which would you take? Would you take $1 million? $1 million. I mean, right here, right now, you won't have to wait 30 days. Or would you wait 30 days where I'll give you a sum of a dollar doubled every day for 30 days? You see, this is the math. Basically, you know, you might be thinking, well, a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, right? Get it right now. I'm guaranteed $1 million. I don't have to wait 30 days. But if you did that, if you took $1 million, you would lose out on more than $500 million 30 days from now. Wow. That's a lot. You know, maybe I should have waited for that second marshmallow. Maybe the third. Wow, that's like five marshmallows instead of one marshmallow. Isn't it? The desire to eat the marshmallow to reach the quick, instant gratification is strong, is my point. It's strong. I'm not trying to diminish the temptation. I want you to understand that temptations are hard. They're strong. The desire is there. It seems almost as built into us. We want the gratification. We want it now. But the Lord doesn't want you to have it now. Maybe not even at all. But Steve, I really like marshmallows. And some of you are probably thinking, Steve, I really hate marshmallows. That's all right. You can substitute whatever you like. If the chocolate works for you, chocolate worked better for me, by the way. But the study was done on marshmallows, so we're kind of stuck with marshmallows. If you like chocolate or you like cookies or cake or so, whatever, substitute whatever you want to substitute. But I really like them. Folks, everyone is going to have temptations. Everyone is going to have marshmallows put in front of you in life. It's a guarantee. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 26 and read verse 41. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. The desire to do right is there. But we all have fleshly bodies that really want that gratification that comes along with all temptations. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's a given. In fact, the Apostle Paul liked marshmallows too. You know that? He liked marshmallows. And occasionally he ate some of them. See, I didn't know they had marshmallows back then. I understand. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Let's read verses 15 through 21, because Paul expresses it this way, the dilemma that we're talking about when all temptations come along. Starting at verse 15 of Romans 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You almost think the kids are thinking this way when they saw that marshmallow. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, and it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Isn't that the way we all kind of look at life? We all want to do good. But that temptation, that marshmallow, it just looks so good. Fresh out of the bag. Got that little dust stuff on it still. Wow. I just want that marshmallow. Oh, it can't be bad. It's going to taste so good. But if I do it, I know I'm wrong. I was told not to eat it for 15 minutes isn't that much time. Shave off a few minutes here. You know, some, maybe some of the kids just sizzle out of the top. Does it matter what our excuses are? The trick is to control our desire to eat marshmallows. That's the trick. And you know that requires the Lord's help. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. This is when Jesus was giving his sample prayer, that's what I like to call it. I guess the world calls it the Lord's Prayer, to his disciples. But in verse 13, he says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Folks, do we realize that the Lord can help us through temptations? When we're feeling tempted, do we go to God in prayer? Before we ever get tempted, do we go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us? Jesus said, do it. That's what He says. He's got all power. He can change things, tweak things, so that temptations aren't as bad. Oh, Steve, He wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, He would. He certainly would. In fact, the next verse says He does. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Lord wants to help us. He doesn't want us to sin. But He did make us free agents. He did allow us choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us very simply that the Lord will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to control ourselves. Let's go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you except as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Lord will help you. He wants to help you. Pray to Him to help you, and He will help you. And when that marshmallow comes before you in life and you're ready to eat it, the Lord says He's already given you a way to get out of that. He already knows that whether or not you're able to handle that temptation. But Steve, it's a big marshmallow. It doesn't matter how big the marshmallow is. Biggest thing I've ever seen made. It's huge. It doesn't matter. I can't handle this marshmallow. It's just, no, folks. You can handle anything with the Lord's help. And that's what we need. We need the Lord's help to resist temptation, to resist the marshmallows before us. In other words, the Lord will not allow us to be tempted by marshmallows beyond our ability to resist them. In fact, He will give us a way to avoid eating them. It's just, again, whether or not we choose to take it or to leave it. Now, again, for the benefit of those who might be thinking, eating marshmallows is wrong. That's all I got to Steve's lesson. That's all I'm saying. It's not it. You got any small children? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about real marshmallows, even though that's what the study was done. We are talking about giving into temptation like the children who were tempted in the study by having those marshmallows put before them. It was done very innocently, and it really kind of revealed quite a bit. And it happens to be that if we control ourselves by avoiding temptations, the Lord says He will bless us. He says to David, He's more than willing to give him whatever he wants. And I have to believe that the Lord is willing to give you whatever it is you ask. He wants to bless you. But when you're wicked and you give in to those temptations, do you think by chance the Lord wants to bless you anymore? When you're no longer doing His will, no longer being His servant, no longer living a Christian life? Wouldn't it be worth not eating those marshmallows while we live and then having more marshmallows, more than we can imagine in heaven? I'm not saying there's going to be marshmallows in heaven. I don't know. But do you see the point? The Lord's going to bless us. You know heaven's going to be a fabulous place. I always say, well, we're going to walk around for 1,000 years with our chin on the ground. It's going to be it's going to be marvelous. Talk about marshmallows. All you have to do is resist the ones here. Resist the temptations here. And you will have more marshmallows than you can handle in heaven. Think of it that way. Is that not worth going through? I'm not saying the temptations are easy. I think I made it very clear. They're very tempting, they're very desirous, and they're very hard to resist. That's the way nature of temptations. But if you can resist it, not only were the kids more successful in life, guess what? You're going to be more successful reaching your goal to heaven. Resist those that control yourself. Do everything you can to control your urges. And the reward will be great. You want those rewards, if you want those marshmallows, if you want to go to heaven, this is an opportunity. As all opportunities in life, now is the time. And if by chance you've sinned, you've been given in to the marshmallows, you've been eating to your fill, and you realize you shouldn't be doing that, you need to be a repentant marshmallow eater. This is certainly time to make that right. Let the Lord know that you're sorry. You want to change your life. You want to do better. You don't want to give in to the temptations. If you're subject either way, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.